A lot of things and never see those things. We can be honest with ourselves. Anybody been there? And I just got to point and say, listen, I want to see a performance of those things that I believe. Show me the stuff.
Man.
You know, I was in the car and I was just driving and talking about faith and doing all these other things. And I was just, I believe this is my year. And I was just doing that traditional believing. You know how we just say it? You just say it. We got those people that just, all we know is the what it is, but we don't really know how to work it. And I was going through there, I believe I've received. You know, I was praying for a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And I was just praying. I said, Lord, and I just take it by faith. I believe it right now. And I could hear almost in an audible voice, Brother Marty Blackwater said, listen, you got to believe you receive.
Amen.
You got to believe you receive. And he said, the problem is not you believing that you'll get those things. He said, you have problem believing receiving. Believing receiving. So we got to work on our belief in that we're able to receive.
Yeah.
We got to believe that our receiver works.
Amen.
I mean, you can get a radio station and there are airwaves all over the place.
Yes.
I mean, you can have a radio, and just because you have a radio that has the ability to pick it up, but you got to believe that you're going to be able to pick up those things. Say, I believe. I got a clear connection to the things that I want from God. So God can do things, but we need to upgrade our receiving. Someone said something a while back, and we thought it was crazy, but you know what? You got to have faith in your faith. You've got to have faith in your faith. You know, we have faith in God, but you've got to have faith in your faith. This is just something that we can meditate on and think that. Somebody say,
My faith
is a real faith,
structured
in the Bible,
started
by God.
It's
potent, it's powerful, and it does work. I have faith in my faith. In Jesus' name. You've got to have faith in your faith and develop that faith in your faith. I mean, if you didn't get it last year, don't use the same faith that you had last year for this year. You got to use new faith to get those new things from God. Everybody look at somebody and say, you need to repent. Find another person and tell them, you really need to repent. I do want to talk about repentance this morning. I think that's really good. Repentance. Why don't we go to Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 19. Tune it in. We talked about being in tune with the Spirit of God, but we talked about believing that you receive in different things and having faith. Well, and tuning in to the proper airwaves out there. Well, I tell you what, your mind, my mind, is my tuning dial. I mean, you got a spirit. Your spirit is literally the power that receives from God. Do you know it comes from your spirit? But your mind is the tuner. I mean, has anybody had to tune a radio station in? I mean, you could have a great radio station, but if it's not on the correct frequency, it's not placed directly right, it's not going to get anything. Well, that's a lot of things for a lot of people. You've got something powerful on the inside of you, but you can't tune in what the Spirit of God's trying to do. Out of tune. That's one of the reasons why we repent, to tune it up. To tune it up. And if you're not tuned in, you can receive anything. Did you know that? If you're not tuned in, if your mind's not tuned where the Spirit of God tells it to be tuned at, you'll pick up any old thing. Has anybody ever, I mean, just turned on your radio and you heard voices you didn't know where they were coming from? And not every voice out there is the voice you want to hear. But the only thing that can tune your mind up is repentance. Repentance tunes my mind to the frequency of God. Jeremiah chapter 15, verse 19. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. I like this word. Everybody circle, if. That's a big word in the Bible. I'm so tired of people always going around and saying this and saying that, never getting anything. You need to learn one powerful Greek word, if.
Amen.
With God, there are ifs. Ifs. And when you see that word, if means I might have to do something. I mean, whenever you see the word if, you should put 50-50 on it. right? You know, a little 50, you got a 50% chance of getting this. God is 100% sure that he'll do it for you.
Amen.
But you got to make up your mind what you want to have happen.
Amen.
There are a lot of ifs there. You're not getting everything out of the Bible that you should be getting out of the Bible. Why? Because that word if is there. You got to make a decision. If you tune in, you can get this. Yes. Not God's problem. Therefore, this is what the Lord says. If you repent, I will restore. Wow. You repent, I'll restore. Anybody want restoration? Anybody want restoration? Anybody lost anything? I tell you what, there are thieves out there. The devil is a thief. He wants everything you got. Your money is not fighting to stay in your wallet. It runs to go. It does not like being on your backside, man. It wants to climb out and get away from you. Your finance, things just, I mean, your money's not sitting there saying, I just love it here in this bank account. He said, I want to go see the world. Your money wants to go. And there have been some things that have walked away, but God wants to bring it back.
Yeah.
And there are a whole lot of people claiming restoration and speaking restoration, restoration, but nobody's speaking the word repent, repent, repent.
Right.
Actually, God said restore. And he was more, basically, if you want God to restore, you start saying repent. If you change your confession to say, hey, the restore part is God's part. He didn't say, if you restore, I'll repent from what I'm doing. Notice he didn't say that. He said, I'll restore, you repent. He said, I'm still God. I was God from the get-go. I haven't changed. You're the one that changed. You're the one that needs to change, and I will put back what you allowed to get away.
My job
is to tuning in.
Tuning in.
He didn't weaken his signal. If you repent, I will restore that ye may serve me. In repentance to service station. You need to get into service, to service station. You need to get into service. If you utterly worthy, not worthless words, you will be my spokesman. Let this people turn to you, but you must not turn to them. Also go to Ezekiel chapter 18, verse 30. Therefore, O house of Israel, I will, what? Judge you. Each one according to his ways, declares the sovereign Lord, repent. Everybody shout out that word, repent.
Repent.
Turn away from some of your offenses. Turn away from the offenses that they caught you in. Turn away from the ones that just ain't fun no more. See, a lot of people get into, you know, they don't repent from things until it bites them. See, that's not repentance. After you get caught with something, then you want to repent over it. But that's not the repentance that God is talking about. He said everything.
Repent from all.
Offenses.
Offenses.
Then sin will not be your what? Sin will not be your downfall. Anybody had a downfall? Yeah, if I'm supposed to be the head, not the tail, and I'm still tailing in a lot of stuff. You might need a wake-up call, too. You're not in the front of the line all the time, either. You didn't show your tail many times. You can tell when someone's in the tail, they usually show their tail. But I tell you what, sin is our downfall. Sin is the way out. And we're not just talking about little actions that people do. We're talking about missing God. We got to get beyond, you know, well, I just went out with this woman, went out with that man. We're not get beyond that. I mean, if sin has got you to that point already, you really need to repent. We're not even in that arena. We're in the arena of obeying God. When you hear me talk about sin, I ain't talking about I've been sleeping with nobody, running around on this and doing drugs. We're not even in that arena. Church shouldn't even be close to that kind of stuff. You shouldn't even have a taste for that stuff. We need to get out of that stuff straight up. Anybody in here to preach to you about your girlfriend, your wife, and you skipping on your husband? You should have been over that a long time ago. I mean, if you gotten to that point, you don't have a mind to go on. You'd have heard stuff about that a long time ago. When it descends to that level, when it gets to that level, there's a whole lot of other stuff going on. That's just the fruit of growth. Sin is missing God's mark for your life. Sin is missing God's mark for your life. So we're not talking about that stuff. So it says, repent and turn away from all your... Sin will not be your downfall. You trying to do, your mindset becomes your downfall. You can have a mindset that will become your downfall. That's why it says change your mind. You're tuned into the wrong frequency because what you hear, you will develop faith in. And what you're tuned into is what you will hear. What gets your attention? Your attention, your focus. That's why it's talking about repentance, because your mindset, your mind is the thing that you look at, you perceive, and the thing that you focus on. And what you focus on, notice your ears look go in the same direction of what you're looking at. That's what you're focusing on. That's why he says repent. Didn't just mean say sorry for something. He said, you better change your focus. See, there are a lot of people that say they're sorry about stuff, but they never change their focus. Never change their focus. When your focus becomes your downfall. So repent. Don't look to those things. That's why we're to look to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Yeah. And he won't be the author and finisher of our faith until we what? Look unto Jesus. You want things to get better? You want to be restored? Look the other way. You want to come out of bondage? You want to come out of Sodom and Gomorrah and those cities that were going down? The first thing you got to do is just look the other direction. There are a lot of people say, I want to get out of this. I want to get out of this. But they won't get that thing out of their face. I mean, you can't walk for God and live for God and do all this other stuff and all your attention is going on what's going on in the world. You want to run for God and you're in your neighbor's business and all you're doing is looking at your neighbor in sin all the time, and talking about this. That's why the Bible says certain things is even a disgrace to even speak of. We don't even need to talk about it. Amen. Why? Because that's your focus. And you can't have restoration when your focus is on ungodly things. Amen. Rid yourselves of all offenses you have committed and get a what? And a what? It says get a new heart or get a new spirit or die. I mean, this is not an option. The Bible says the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And what is the gift of God but the Holy Ghost? Well, some say the gift of God is Jesus Christ. Yeah, Jesus Christ. But when you receive Jesus Christ, you receive the fullness of the Spirit on the inside of you. You better keep Jesus Christ alive. Jesus Christ is not dead. You got to receive all of Jesus Christ. The part that's still living, when he said, listen, I'll be with you always and forever, even until the end of time. Listen, I'll be in you. Do you believe in Jesus Christ? Do you believe in the same Jesus Christ that he said? Do you believe that Jesus Christ is who he said he would be? Did you believe he said he would be inside of you? Did he say that? He said, I'll be in you, living and abiding in you, dwelling in you, leading you, directing you, guiding you, and instructing you. Well, that's what it means to believe in Christ. You've got to believe that God is on the inside. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. It says, get a new heart and a new spirit. Don't even think about repentance unless you got the attitude and the mindset to get a new heart and a new spirit. I mean, he'll just replace the old generator inside your inner man. He'll replace it. He'll take out that old thing and he'll give you a new spirit and a new heart. How many of you want a new spirit, a new heart, heart that follows hard after God? Amen. Well, that goes with repentance. That goes with repentance. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I take no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the sovereign Lord. God doesn't want anybody to die. I mean, he's not out there saying, hey, another one bites the dust. Plump, there it is. I mean, just looking who he can knock out. It doesn't please him. He said faith pleases God. Death does not please God. Anybody want to displease God? Keep letting your dreams die. Anybody want to displease God? Keep letting your vision die. Let your business die. Let your family die. Let those things. Death does not please God. But faith pleases God. Believing for the best pleases God. I take no pleasure in death, in the death of anyone. When you get up against circumstances and situations, will they be better off with Jesus? Well, they were just suffering. We're just going to let them go on and be with Jesus. I'm sick and it's time for me to check out. Death! God doesn't take pleasure in death. He'll bring you home. He'll catch you away. When he wants somebody to go home, he did it with Enoch. He caught him away. He caught him away. God can catch you away. He didn't say he wouldn't do that anymore. God wants you to live and not give up your full length of days. Don't let the length of your days shorten to what the Word of God says. Say, I'm going to be here for a long time. God wants to have pleasure in your life. declares the sovereign Lord. So do what? Repent and what? Live. But you're not going to be able to live until you what? There are a whole lot of people that want to have this life, this eternal life that God's talking about, this good life, the life of abundance, the life of fullness of salvation, say the good life. But don't anybody want to repent? You got to hear that good life. Faith comes by hearing and hear by the word of God. And God doesn't do anything unless he does it by faith. Well, the good life that God wants you to have, you've got to hear it. And you're not going to hear it until you're tuned into where God is speaking. I'll hear my good life so I can receive my good life. Then I'll start to live that good life. If you want restoration in this year 2001, guess what? You're going to have to change something. Or don't expect to get anything. Repent and live. Now listen, in the Old Testament, repent means to be sorry. That's all you could do is be sorry about it. Couldn't really do anything about it. All you could do is be sorry about it. But we got a different covenant in the New Testament. There are a lot of Old Testament repentance going around. Sorry about this. A whole bunch of sorry people. Anybody ever went to a sorry church? And they're doing the same thing Sunday after Sunday, and everybody's sorry about it. I mean, this is not the sorry game. Anybody seen that game called Sorry? There are churches that are playing sorry. They all play the sorry game. I'm sorry. You know, they go to church, mess up all week long, then go back to church on Sunday morning and say, I'm sorry. Anybody been a sorry saint? I'm going to tell you what, that sorry saint stuff has got to go. Amen. God's not impressed with you being sorry. He was sorry unto death and took care of all your sorrow. He took care of all sorrow. He said, sorry not. Sorrow not. Amen. Being sorry for stuff ain't going to change nothing. I've seen a lot of people that messed up on their girlfriend and done some crazy stuff. They said, I'm sorry. 3 weeks later, did the same thing. Sorry don't make the pain go away. Sorry don't take away the stain. So cut the sorry stuff out and get over to the New Testament. Not just sorry, I'm repentance. And what God is looking for, he's looking for New Testament repentance. And New Testament repentance means to change your mind. Amen. He's looking to give you a new attitude. Well, that's what God's talking about when he's talking about repentance. I mean, you should have pep in your step when you expect to be restored. I mean, you should be shouting about, I got a new attitude. You need to get a new attitude. Anybody ever heard people say, hey, your attitude reflects your altitude?
Yes.
Your attitude will determine your altitude. Some of you just soaring real low, hitting every little mountaintop. Some of you never got off the ground. Some of you driving around you've been driving around on the runway for years, plane just driving around, never left ground, just rolling around. You're driving it to the grocery store. God said you to fly. Get out of where you are. Why? Attitude. So you can't fly high with an attitude like that. Eagles soar. Chickens just, I don't even know if they can fly. I mean, we got a whole lot of chicken saints, attitudes. But you need attitude. And when we repent in the New Testament, you change your mindset. God wants us to change our mindset. He wants us to reconsider and rethink some things. Think differently. Somebody say, hey, Rod, you are a weird cookie. Why? I've repented. I changed my mind. I don't think the way that you think. I've got a new mindset. I don't look at it the way that you look at it. Anything that you want God to restore, many of you got family problems and family situations and situations. You got to change your mind. You got to think about that circumstance differently than what you thought about it before. God is not going to change the outward manifestation of anything you got until you change your mind. He's going to get a word in your spirit, but he's got to change your mind first. And then when he changes your mind, you can flow from the spirit through and out. So I got to have a mind change. It's the truth. It's the truth. You got to think differently. And if you're thinking the same thing you thought 3 years ago, ain't nothing you can expect the same thing you got 3 years ago. I need a spiritual revelation. I need a spiritual move of God. Well, you got a spiritual move of God. It's your mind that's the problem. You need to renew your mind. That's what repentance is all about. There is no such thing as, see, repentance goes with, first of all, we do say, hey, Lord, I'm headed down the wrong path. But repentance is not just coming to the front and crying about it. That's nice, but you got to figure out what the Word of God says about it and renew your mind. Repentance goes with, hey, listen, I got a problem. I'm going to get in the Word about it and wash this mind. I'm going to brainwash myself. That is repentance. Notice that when the children of Israel would get to the point where they had to repent, they just read the law to them. They put them out there and they would read the law to them and read the law to them and read the law to them and read the law to them. What were they doing? They were washing their mind so they would change their mindset. You've got to think differently. What do you think about your life? Well, the Spirit within you is going to get towards you and wash your mind so that you can think differently about it. Anybody ready to repent?
Amen.
All right. Now listen, in Matthew in chapter 3, verse 1, it says, in the days John the Baptist came preaching in the desert. See, the desert always represents some stuff. Notice that he went to the desert to say some things. There are a lot of people that are in the desert, in the middle of nowhere. I mean, just stuck out in the wilderness. The wilderness, the number four, represents trials, tribulation, you know, indecision, on the way someplace. Almost there, but just hadn't got there. He went in the wilderness. John the Baptist went to people in the wilderness. And there's some people in the wilderness this morning. Our ministry could be in the wilderness. Your business can be in the wilderness. I mean, you got a promise, you just haven't gotten there yet. There was a promise, but you're stuck somewhere in the wilderness on your promise. God's providing for you in the wilderness. Eating manna from heaven, water out of rocks, and all that stuff. You're getting all that stuff, but it's good, and you're just shouting about it, and you're so happy. Some of you said, hey, we can be camp out here in the wilderness forever. But God said, I got to get them out of the wilderness. Isn't that amazing that John came to the wilderness? He said, I got to get them out of the wilderness. Before I can bring them out of the wilderness, I've got to send a preacher to tell them, listen, Jesus is coming, who is the Spirit. Tune your station. Tune in. The Word is here. What? He was saying, listen, repent. Tune in. There's a broadcast going on. Somebody knows how to get out of here. He went to the wilderness and said, tune in. Somebody's giving direction how to get out of this life. He said, tune in. The kingdom of heaven is at hand. Isn't that amazing? It's the same thing with us this morning. And in our ministry, listen, the kingdom of heaven, all that God has, the Spirit, the fullness of all that stuff, it's right in your hands. All you got to do is tune in. So he sent John to them. He said, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. This is he who was spoken of through the prophet Isaiah, a voice of the one calling in the desert, prepare the way of the Lord. Prepare, repent, prepare the way of the Lord. Repentance is the way of the Lord. Repentance is the way of the Lord. Why? God comes in and he speaks to our spirit. God comes in and he ministers to our spirit, right? But we've got to take that spirit and speak in tongues and do different. Do you know that everything that happens comes out of our mouth? So we are the ark of God. Anybody understand ark? Anybody ever heard the word ark? Ark means a power transfer between God and man. You are an ark of God. That means everything that God does in the earth today, he does it through the believer. That means he gets it in you and then he gets it out of you. He gets it in you and gets it out of you. All things are spoken. So there are certain things that got to cross through you. When I receive something of the Spirit of God, guess what happens? I receive it in the Spirit of God. Then I have to meditate and then I have to think on how I'm going to get it out there. So your mind is one of the ways that God moves through you. And you got to prepare the way of God. God wants to get through your understanding. You got a promise within you. Prepare the way of God. That vision of things that you've always believed in, things that you've always wanted to do, that great thing. Guess what? It's in you, but you got to prepare the way of God. It's got to get through your head. It's in your spirit, but it's got to get through your head. It's got to get through your intellect. You got to change your mindset because he's got to put it there so you can get it out here. Isn't it amazing? So people think spirit, spirit, spirit. Yeah, we are spirit, but we need to get to the point we got it on the inside. We need to get it from the inside out. Certain people are very spiritual, but they're crazy. It's the truth. It's crazy. I mean, they got all this stuff on the inside, but you know it will never get through there. I tell you what, God doesn't do C-sections. See, we want God to cut open our belly.
Amen.
Cut open our belly and just take out our miracle.
Yes.
He don't do C-sections. It's got to come through the womb. He's going to bring it through that crazy head of yours because he wants you to remember it. He wants you to become a part of it. So we say, well, what's the problem? It's tied somewhere between your spiritual, your spirit man, and your crazy head. That's why God wants us to repent. Prepare the way of the Lord, make straight paths for Him. Does God got a straight path in your head, or is your head all screwed up? I mean, do you got a straight path mind, or is it completely twisted? Anybody got a twisted mind? Always trying to bend something. The Word of God says it, but you're going to bend it a little bit. I mean, God just said it, and that settles it, and it's okay. But no, not for you. You're just going to bend it. We got abstract mentality. Abstract, we're going to bend it and curve it a little bit. Abstract. Well, witchcraft is the sin of what? Rebellion. And what is rebellion? Basically a perversion of truth. You trying to manipulate stuff and change stuff. Well, see, that's the same thing. We can become twisted, and God wants to straighten out that thinking. And certain people want you to deal with them, and you need to get the people to say, listen, straighten that mess up now. Where do you think we get the term when your parents used to tell you? Today they don't say it anymore. They can do whatever they want to do, act any kind of way they want to act. But it used to be, you better straighten up right now. My mama used to tell it, straighten that head up, straighten up, I'm going to knock your head off. Amen. But I'm telling you as a body this morning, listen, straighten up. People went out to him from Jerusalem and all Judea and the whole region of Jordan, confessing their sins. They were baptized by him in the river Jordan. You got to get to that point. We should be a sin-confessing congregation. Live open. Live open. I don't have a friend that I can be open with. And anybody that you think would be shocked or terribly offended over something that you're struggling with, I bet you there's a whole skeleton. There's an old morgue on the inside of that person's heart. I mean, confess your stuff. Be wide open with it. You can live wide open with it. Don't hold anything on the inside. Can't nobody judge you. And whoop-de-doo if they do. They don't hold the keys to heaven. Who cares? Who cares? So many people are living these little secret private lives. How do we expect to be, you know, live for Jesus when we got all these little private things going on? You're all right. You're all right. I mean, why would you want to fool the church and fool yourself? Amen. You can't fool God. You can't fool the church. You might as well be wide open. I mean, you're more concerned what people in the church think about you than your own salvation. Live wide open. Confessing their sins. And there, you won't ever be able to live this repentant mindset or have a healthy mind until you develop at least an understanding of who you are and what's going on with you and your shortcomings. But God can't work with that until we at least confess it, identify what your problem is. And the ones you need to watch out for, I've met people, and the ones I tell people to run with when somebody's going to get into something, they're dating somebody or something, and I say, hey, what's your best thing that you have to offer? And they can go on for hours. What's wrong with you? And they go, oh, I'm going, run. Let me tell you, you know, you want to know if you're a sick cookie? Let me do a test. Okay, write down on your piece of paper, a sick cookie. So it says sick cookie test. What's your problem? If you can't answer that question quickly, you're a sick cookie. We can develop a lifestyle to where we receive God's best. Yes. Greater is he that is in you than he that's in the world. God's trying to get that thing from the inside of you out. Yes. And what we're doing is we're doing surgery on the mind. We can receive the best from God. This week is repentance. I'm going to get a new attitude. Everybody say, I got a new attitude. This is the year for a new attitude. That the good things that are in Christ Jesus, that is in your spirit, can come out. Hallelujah.